Okay, I've got 9:01. We'll go ahead and call this regular meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order at this time, noting that there is a quorum present in the absence of Commissioner Basham. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on silence at this time. And for those of you that are participating by Zoom, we would ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you would need to address the court. We'll begin this morning with a word of prayer. God, our Father in heaven, we come before you humbly asking for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we're so thankful for your presence to watch over this court and to watch over Coryell County. Lord, we ask for your continued blessings on our first responders here locally and around the world that do the justice and the good fight in your name. And Lord, as always, we ask for your guidance and wisdom as we conduct these proceedings today. So that we may do here on earth what honors and glorifies your name in heaven. We ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen. Amen. We pledge to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the one state, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number five, which is the consent agenda. There are three items there placed for your consideration. You can approve the consent agenda as presented, or you can select any or all of those to be discussed individually.
Make a motion to approve that.
See.
Got a motion to approve the consent agenda from Commissioner Matthews and a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number five? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number six, Road and Bridge Report. Mr. Latham.
Well, Judge, for the month of October, at the end of the month, we had 58 open work orders. We closed out 56. Of those open work orders, we started tracking our permits now and kind of went into a little different process. 52 of them were permits, so there's only 36 call-in work orders. We bladed and added base, 7 road locations, and bladed 29 roads, chip sealed 4 roads there, 174, resealed 158, 157. While we were on 174, we went down in and shot out remainder oil, bobby, and had 11 call outs after hours, didn't work on any cattle guards. We got a typo in there. That chip seal work on B5 Lutheran Church, Oak Springs. I believe that was in the previous one.
Yep.
I checked that.
Yep.
I cleaned up about 2 CMPs and reshaped the ditch lines. I cleaned ditches at 12 locations, repaired 3 driveways. Cleared 9 fallen trees from roadways or 9 locations. Pushed 2 fence rows, edge sprayed 1 road. Mowed grass at 63 roads. We moved to full width shredding now. We're trying to implement I'll do that once or twice a year just to keep the brush down. Patched 32 locations, installed 2 county road name signs, 1 curb sign, 1 speed limit, and 1 stop sign. We installed a large drainage structure on Lutheran Church Road on the gravel section there. At a concrete kind of wooden, what you call it, failing. So we replaced it with a half pipe. I repaired 1 culvert and replaced 1. Hauled brush off at 20 locations and trimmed trees at 17. That's all I have on the
Very good. Any questions or comments for Mr. Latham?
Make a motion to accept the road.
Got a motion to accept the road and bridge report from second. Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Weddle. Any further discussion on item number six? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The ayes have it, motion carries. Item number seven is the road and bridge report, annual report for 2025.
Yes, good. So normal this time of year, we file our annual report. We completed 502 work orders the last year. We installed 52,347 cubic yards of road base, 1,344 cubic yards of 3x5, 767 cubic yards of some 5x8 riprap, and then larger riprap around bridges is 2,038 cubic yards. Installed 2,827 feet of drain pipe. And then on large drainage structures, we installed 693 feet. We used 240,263 gallons of paving oil products. We used 11,281 tons of paving rock. Utilized, we're starting to use more concrete. Reason is our large drainage structures, what we start doing on them is any culvert over 36 inches, we're buying either flow fill or like a wet concrete when they backfill it. They backfill it with that, so it keeps it from undermining and settling as bad. But we utilized 441 cubic yards of concrete and 74 cubic yards of flow fill. 954 tons of coal patch, and water purchase was 2,580,000 gallons we used for construction. And there's, if you look through the report there, it shows each road, what we did to it, how much we spent on it, you know, kind of a brief summary. And what our utilization was of service requests, kind of percentage-wise, what the most call-ins were. And these are black and white, not color, so a pie chart might be a little interesting to read, but I do have one colored one, and we'll give Jennifer. So I should have this in a PDF to send you guys digital. Our scanner broke when I was trying to scan it in. I think we got it back up and going. Rachel might have to scan it in now. So.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Any questions or comments for Mr. Latham concerning the 2025 annual report?
All right. I make a motion we accept the road and bridge annual 2025 annual report.
Thank you.
We got a motion to accept the annual report from Commissioner Weddle, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number seven? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. With the indulgence of the court, we've got some individuals here that, in order to make possibly make best use of their time, I would ask that we move forward to item number 16, which is a discussion item with Chris Brands with Charter Communications regarding fiber infrastructure in Gatesville and the surrounding areas. Commissioner Weddle had asked to have this item placed on the agenda.
Yeah, CJ Brands reached out to me and kind of wanted to download me on what was going on with the fiber. And I said, hey, this would be perfect. Why don't you come, you know, pitch it to the entire court, kind of let us know what they're doing. So we've got CJ Brands and Brad Shelley with Charter Spectrum. And so they just want to tell us what they've got going on in the in Gatesville and surrounding areas.
Well, good morning. I appreciate everybody, you know, squeezing us in on short notice. Brad Shealy, I'm the vice president of construction for Charter coming in Texas and Louisiana. Here over the past 4 or 5 months, as you guys all likely know, Suddenlink or Altice used to service this area with coax. We recently went through and acquired all their abandoned assets. They'd come to us and said, hey, we're going to turn these markets off. Are you guys interested in going through and taking over all the assets? So the process of doing that, what we did, we took over all the physical assets, or which be their pole attachments, their power supplies that they had. Obviously, no customers or anything at the time because they'd already shut that off. So what we're now doing is we're coming back through all these communities. There's four in total, Gainesville being one, Samsala, Great Blend over in East Texas, and then Dakota up in North Texas. So we're going through right now, we're going to go through and we'll abandon all the plant that they had in here. We'll strip it down to its aerial substructure. So we'll take it down to bare strand. And then what we're going to do is we're going to come back here and we're going to overlay all of it with fiber optic. So we're going to use a process and a product that they call FlexNap. What that allows us to do, it allows us to cut construction time by about 65%. So we'll have crews come in here and they'll strip all the old coax out. They'll remove all the old drops that are going to homes off the strand, any abandoned cable. We're going to take down anything, any pole transfers or anything like that, or the power company. All that will be done and we'll get it all ready and all the new substructure set up to accept this new fiber optic service. So once we get in and the teams are ready to go, one of the things, you know, we want to discuss the potential of the lay down yard. And what that'll allow us to do is we'll mobilize our teams in here and we'll be able to go through and store equipment and material here closer to the site. We're going to do this entire project with our employees, with our Spectrum employees. A lot of times what you'll see, us included, we use a lot of contracted labor to do a lot of our construction. Here in the state of Texas, we actually stood up a in-house construction team. So it's 100% charter employees, all of our equipment. So we're utilizing and doing these upgrades and these rebuilds with our own personnel. So CJ and his team will be heading up a team that will come in and go through and do it. We handed out just a real quick informational, very, very high level. There's some contact information. The highlighted piece on the map is what the existing system was that we took control of. So that's immediately what we'll go through and service. We've already actually walked the whole community out. We have design that's in process right now that we hope to get back a material for it. We hope to get back before the end of this year. So what we'll do is as soon as we can get a lay down yard secured, even if we can't, we're going to come in and get started. It'll be logistically a little bit tricky, but we can get it going. And then, like I said, the team will come in here and strip all the old system out of it. So the only thing you're going to see is just the strand of just the aluminum wire on the poles. That's all you're going to see. So once we come in here and we set this up, this will tie back into our major hub back in Waco. So we're building the interconnect fiber coming from Waco. We'll come out this way to go through and tie this market in. So once that happens and we get the base established and the core market that we want to get taken care of, stood up and operational, that puts us in a position to go through and expand. You know, wherever else we're needing service, because obviously there was a lot of things just kind of drive around. I see there's a lot of places where there's not coax plant where they didn't go through and build. So we'll have all of that infrastructure in place at that point to where we can go through and build and expand that network to go through and service outside the existing footprint that was currently here previously. So once all said and done, it's a fiber optic circuit. And the fiber optic plant that have service capabilities up to 100 megs or 100 gigs, you know, from a perspective, it'll be, you know, bi-directional, you know, up to 5 gigs off fiber to a residential customer. So so it's like it has a lot of capacity once it's all up and said and done. Don't ask me about price because I'm not a salesperson. I'm just the guy that builds it.
Is this underground or air?
So we're gonna mirror the facility so they have some underground, right? So we'll go through and we'll address that in the same manner. What's aerial will remain there. So ultimately, at the end of the day, from a look within the community, it's going to be, number one, it'll be cleaned up. So all the stuff that hadn't been cleaned up, all that will be done. But whether you've seen aerial infrastructure before, you'll still see it. And then where there was underground, we'll go through and address and update and upgrade that.
Which I guess primarily in the city limits to begin with.
To begin, yes, sir. Yes, sir, to begin. Yeah, so we'll most immediately address the asset that that they abandoned. So,
what's the time? Well, perfect.
So
what's the perfect timeline?
So we have so we're going through permitting and everything on the interconnect portion of it coming out here, and we hope to within the next 30 days to 45 days have all those secured, and we'll start building that. We're finalizing the design with Corning, the company that we're using for this product. So hopefully once we do that, they'll go to manufacturing. And we're hoping to have the material to land that before the end of the year. Our goal would be able to go through and start physical construction sometime around mid to the end of January. And then get connectivity back to our Waco operations and that headed upside there. So we can go through and start turning up. Our goal for all these properties, Gatesville to be included, is to be in and out of here before March. So we're just recently finishing Graveland. Once we got up and everything got set and rec out got done, we resecured the substructure, the aerial substructure. It took us like 3 weeks to go through and build a community. So FlexNap, which is why we use it, it allows you to move very, very quickly. It's pre-built modular. So you roll it out, you reel it out, lash it up, it's done. So we go that route because of the speed to build.
This is not including those fiber poles that are west of town. Is that correct? That has nothing to do with what you're
handling. No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir.
Make me sure. Because yeah.
That was with CT.
Well, I don't know. I've called 15 different companies. I finally got in touch with somebody the other day because there's two of them that are just dangling. So, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm sure we'll have plenty of opportunities to make it. We'll talk about those when they occur. We'll get them taken care of. Right now, we're not making any oopses yet.
That's it.
So to ask the obvious question, this is so that Spectrum can offer home level, rooftop level to the house, fiber internet.
Yes, sir.
For specifically the Gatesville area right
yes,
now.
Sir. Yes.
Okay. And then again, to state the obvious, that makes you a direct competitor with Nextlink, which I believe they're the ones that are running the subsurface, everything in the ground right now. Is that Nextlink?
That I don't know. I know that I believe Brightspeed might have
some Brightspeed. Brightspeed is who that is.
Out here.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So y'all would be competitors with them.
Oh, we stand in the ring with them all the time.
Okay. All right.
That's a good thing.
You know, it's difficult to have, you know, competition in small markets just because, you know, there's a lot of infrastructure that goes in to then, you know, what's your customer ratio to be able to, you know, get your return on your investment of sure. the infrastructure on those customers. So,
I wouldn't say that how we got into the market and acquired what we got from Suddenlink was a fire sale, but there's a lot of things that were relatively inexpensive. So the cost to get into the market from that aspect was very appealing.
No, appreciate it. That's a great overview. With this, I mean, obviously you've established your initial footprint is, you know, I guess what we're seeing here on the map.
Yes.
Are there any plans at this point to reach into some of the subdivisions that are in the ETJ and the outlying areas of Gatesville? Is that like a phase two?
We'll have all that stuff drawn up as we come in here.
Okay.
Because of the fact, obviously, those things that they did not service, right? At a point in time, they stopped with forward investment. So we'll look to come back and kind of fill those gaps that they may have missed off their existing infrastructure.
Okay.
Which is pretty common in a day-to-day operation for us throughout the state. So, but definitely we'll go through and we'll take a look at that to go through and expand into those areas, you know, that weren't touched
okay.
or left behind.
In some of our East Texas counties that we work in, Van Zandt, Henderson County, we've expanded our network and we feed a lot of those county barns, county offices, utilize our proper optics. And working with the commissioners out there, you know, some of our obstacles and hurdles, obviously, as we all know, these landowners, some own this land for generations, and they think they own to the middle of the road or across the road. And so we come across those type battles, and I engage the commissioners to help me with those concerns or those issues. And sometimes we work through it and get through it. Sometimes we don't. We work around them. So, but safety is our number one priority. And our crews are safe. And if you see anything out there that's a concern, I'm on speed dial 7 days a week. We do our TCPs with TxDOT, traffic control plans. We come in here, it's going to be like an army. You're going to see Spectrum trucks all over the place. And I've met with the city, and they're excited about us coming in here. But it's overwhelming to some of these property owners in these areas because it's an army. We move quick. And property complaints, whether it's ruts, we have to trim trees sometimes to get our lines through there. You know, people flare up about their trees. We all know that in East Texas. So, again, I'm on speed dial, and I handle those situations immediately. And we try to just – our number one goal is to be safe, to get our employees home in the evenings, and then production, number two. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
No, it all sounds very promising, and we do. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Just kind of random aside, do y'all service the Coppers Cove area? Is Spectrum and Charter, are they along? Okay. Well, it's just random. I mean, we've got some offices and facilities there.
Yeah, we service out Coppers
Cove. Yeah, but there wasn't any underlying or hidden meaning in there or anything. There was just,
we do service out there.
Okay.
If you have locations that you're interested in getting fiber, we'd like to see the location and see about getting footprint to those locations if the need is there. We're definitely entertaining.
Yeah, because one of the things that we'll do is while we have teams on site, we can go through and accommodate for it, the initial design and go through and make sure that the capacity is there for everybody. And we do it all at the same time if we at all could.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even if it was a later down the road thing, if there was a budgetary concern with it or a budgetary planning piece of it, you know, if we have the ability to go through and know about those locations to where we could get up, in essence, really to the curve of the site, you know, it would really slow down. You know, once you guys are in a position to go through and make those decisions forward, then we're just right there and then we can execute on it perfectly.
Good. All right. Very good. Thank you so much. We appreciate the information and your time this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
How big lay down yard fiddle the name?
The one we're looking at is over here on the loop.
We got one.
Texas, Mexico. And it's fenced, it's secure. Our plan is to put in 2 40-yard dumpsters because we have to obviously remove all this coax. And as you see around the city, a lot of this coax is just hanging down. It's busted up. It's ugly.
Mm-hmm.
So it will clean all that up. However, it's a lot of mileage of coax. So it's going to be piled up. And the dumpster companies sometimes don't often empty them and bring them back in a timely manner. So then we're stacking up next to them and that kind of stuff. So
the reason I was asking, so whenever we visited with Texas and Mexico about a lay down yard when they were working on finding one. We just wasn't fast enough for them. They found a location out there. But the county had some land out off of FM 929 that we had posted a notice of bids for a lay down yard, to lease lay down yard for them. Like I said, we wasn't fast enough for them and found that out there. But if y'all don't, if y'all got one already, that's okay. If y'all don't, we might have a option for y'all that's commissioner's board. Your things are down the road, so that was great. I know y'all talked to Mr. Weddle. He worked at Texas, New Mexico on that deal before, so y'all run into the need for a lay down yard.
It'll be something we probably look to immediately secure for about 4 to 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
And again, with the court's indulgence, I'd like to then pick up with item number 9, which is considered contract with Goldsmith Solutions for managed IT services. In the previous meeting, we had selected to engage with Goldsmith Solutions. For managed IT services, contract has been provided, which, without being a contract guru, appears to match up with what their proposal was that we had previously received and considered. So I would welcome your comments, or Mr. Goldsmith, anything that you'd like to address.
No, sir. Judge, I think our agreement is pretty straightforward. I mean, we don't, it's not 8-point font that you can't read, and it's not trying to hide anything. The only thing I would point out, we submitted this for a comment, I think, on the 27th, and collect Mr. Bell. We've had ongoing discussions with the judge, Mr. Bell, Richard Wettle, and multiple people else came, since then. But the only thing I would point out to the court is that the RFP requires that we provide an additional insured, and the Imperial County is that, and we're prepared to do that. That's just the form that we send after the contract's executed. We can send that to whoever hangs out on the file. So I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. I know we're going to talk about transition.
I mean, the dates, that'll be something. Fill it on page 3.
Yes, sir.
Point of contact. The vendor requires that the customer designate at least 2 coordinators for all IT needs. The initial point of contact for the purpose of this agreement shall be, I think we need to, you know, decide who that, maybe describe the role of those, sure, those contacts before, before I even attempt to volunteer for it.
That's an excellent point. Well, so basically, usually the county judge is typically one, just kind of as a member of the court and kind of the operations person for the county. And when I say the county judge, that could be their office, that could be their designee. Sometimes it's an emergency management coordinator that reports to the county judge, et cetera. But basically, we want to have 2 points of contact that if there are any issues that we need to work through, that those are the 2 people, or those are the 2 different people we approach first. But more importantly, or more realistically, is if we're in any kind of issue, like the county's has a cyber attack or something like that, these are the 2 people that would be engaged immediately. These are the 2 people that we would work with and provide all the updates to. We'll provide mass communication out to all your users, but we need the buck to stop with a couple of folks, you know, before entertaining an emergency commissioner's court meeting or just a commissioner's court meeting. And so that's just kind of to clearly define those people from a commissioner's court perspective. And we'll obviously work with your entire team, but we just want to get your input on that. This is what we've done for years, and it's worked out well. I don't know if I hope that answers your question.
Perfect.
And just to clarify also, that doesn't mean that, you know, an elected official can't submit something directly to us or we can't interact with them. That it's not a roadblock. It's not a bottleneck.
Right. It's just an emergency.
In an emergency or in some kind of issue, whether it's legal. We've had issues where the attorney general showed up with an investigative team and said, we're here to see your IT equipment because they are investigating a crime. I hope that never happens here, but we're just trying to be prepared for those type issues where when you come to the fork in the road, these are the 2 people that we need to interact with that can keep the court apprised of what's going on until it can be formally addressed in an agenda in the commissioner's point of setting. There was an attachment to this, which is called Schedule A. It's page number. It's the very last page if you have a post told to run it off or the as a banner at the top that says Schedule A, Information Technology Services Agreement, not on the sales spreadsheet. That outlines what was approved by the court in the RFP process. The only reason I'm pointing this out is there are additional licenses and things that we're working through. We've been working through that for the last couple of weeks. We've had many conversations with Mr. Bell about that. And examples would be, you know, your Microsoft licensing, some of your server licensing, antivirus. We're going to try to move that to the state program to save money there. But that's something that will come back to the court as an addendum to this. What you're considering today is just the overall structure of the agreement, the terms of it, and then the professional services, meaning what it takes to engage us to support Coryell County's IT system. And then we'll address all of the other items as we finalize some of those numbers, meaning we don't want to shoot high on what quantities you need or even accept quantities you have right now or what we need to do moving forward. I'm not saying that they're not, but we're just trying to make sure that any agreement we enter into from a licensing standpoint is exactly what you need and is the quantity that you need. So that'll come back to the court. I would hope to have that to you in December, but when we talk about the transition, we'll get to that. But...
Any other questions, concerns, comments from the court?
Belt, do you have any?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So I have two things we need to probably talk about in the session, but the term of the agreement, I think that we need to figure out if we're going to bid for just 1 year or if we're going to commit to, and I don't know if we can at this point, in our budget, but interest in sinking for a multi-year contract. There is a provision in here regarding the county's ability to get out of contract if for the lack of funding as set forth in Texas government. That's it. But that's one of the things that I think the law is pretty clear in a multi-year contract that you don't have the right to just terminate, that you have the great interest in sinking fund for those future years. I know we have not had that discussion. I have not had an opportunity to visit Mr. Woods about that matter. So there are some things in the paragraph one in the term that I think that we need to discuss how we're going to address. There are some things in the contract that I don't know. Well, I do know that the IT community, I don't know that they know what this means and what our plan is to address some of these things, such as updating systems and upgrading systems and unsupportable systems and what our plan is for that. I don't, of course, sign a contract that says one thing when their intention is to do something different in regards to those systems. I am concerned about that. What I want to talk about in executive session is some disagreement issues that have been raised that I have concerns about that we need to discuss and see if there's anything to them or not. I know we talked about some other stuff in executive session last time. I have reached out to some attorneys about, and I don't know what I did to them, but I haven't heard back from them. Not just on this deal, but on another deal. apparently, I did something to them. I'm under on y'all. So I think we need to discuss those things. And, you know, overall, the terms and conditions in the contract are fine, but those things I think we do need to address and make sure that we have them right because of the current political landscape that I do blame on y'all creating, not me. I think that it's very important that we make sure that this is done exactly correctly so that I don't have to go to the 52nd and on it.
That's all. Mr. Mill, do you mind if I address a couple of those things? I'm not trying to solve it, but just to kind of explain. So the funding, this, we put this in place at other counties in order to try to address your concerns. That doesn't mean that it was addressed. It met their needs. It doesn't mean it meets Coryell County's needs. So anything we need to do to work through that, I'd be happy to get our attorney with Mr. Bell and work through that if there's language changes or something that needs to be stricken that would easier or more straightforward. We are completely well aware and local government code that if you defund an item, can't pay for it in the next fiscal year, that gives you a lot of outs that the private industry doesn't have. And so we've tried to address those things. But again, if we need to address them in a different manner, we'll be happy to. The legacy systems, that's not, first of all, this agreement is what we have in place in other counties. We do not pay or address based on seeing something that we're trying to get you in a gotcha type situation by any means. It's not good business. It's not how you build a relationship. But the legacy systems, which is number paragraph 12, we have never exercised that to date. But basically what it's trying to do is we have some customers that at one point, like right now, Windows 11 is the is the current standard. Everyone that's still on Windows 10 is trying to move off Windows 10. We had customers in that situation, multiple versions ago, that they still had Windows 7, even though that was like four versions behind. And they're like, we're not moving off this. I said, we can't support it because there is no support for it. We can't secure it because there is no security for it. And so either we're going to have to move off of it, or it's going to create additional costs because it's a risk issue on our side. So that's why that's there. But again, it's not trying to beat you over the head with it. I have not seen anything so far that concerns me about the supportability that's in Oreo County's environment. You all know what some of the challenges are with some of the software vendors that y'all have and just ability to support the softwares. But y'all are already turned the corner to start moving towards new software. So I think that's putting you on a good track there. I don't know if it's in that paragraph, but somewhere I think it talks about a print server.
See, that's in 9C.
Yes, sir. That is something that I don't know if you have that fully implemented in your entire environment, but what that is we want to move towards that. That is a standard thing that any enterprise company has, like a bank, a school district, etc. But what that means is we're managing printers from a overall server standpoint, and when you get new copiers, we just go update at one place and all your computers know that there's a new copier. The alternative to that, which is more how small businesses support printing, is they go around and touch every single computer every time you get a new printer. So Justin here said that his printer was broken or he might need a new printer or whatever, needs a colored printer. We don't want to have to, if that's 50 computers that print to that. I know it isn't your department, but in Clark's office, it might be 25 computers. We just want to have it where that's streamlined, and it makes the support easier. It makes the time to resolve things easier. And so we've had some people in the past push back on that just because they didn't have the environment to set that up, and we were going to have to purchase a server to start that. That's not Oreo County's situation by any means. That if that's not in place today, that's something that we could use your existing equipment and put that in place. It's just kind of a best practice.
Yes, I, of course, read that paragraph and I have a question mark by it because I think, so we have individual offices networked to printers in those offices, but not a print server for everyone in the county, just individual offices. And of course, you would have to explain to me how that works, because I don't know how it works. I just know that it works.
Right.
But I don't know if now whenever we get a new RICO unit in office, if they have to touch every computer, or if there is a print server that runs that. I do not know the answer to that question. But I would like to know the answer to that question,
sure,
because it says at our own cost and expense, we're going to have to do something if we don't have that in place now. So I was obviously curious enough about a little question mark.
Yes, sir. I can't fully answer the question of if you have that in place across your entire environment. What I would commit to you is we typically take this first year, not to say that we're going to slowly ramp up to supporting Oreo County, but we take this first year to surface all those issues and to work through all those issues, and then we start addressing those issues. And if it's something that we can put a little bit of effort and a little bit of money and fix a big problem like that, that's what we want to do. If it's something we just need to put on the roadmap of improvements, that's what we do. But that's something that, a year from now, I'm not saying that it's going to take a year, but a year from now, we should know exactly how that works and either have that in place or be working towards it. And because of y'all's server infrastructure, meaning the data center, everything that, Coryell County has, that's probably just a programming thing. It's not like you've got to go buy a new something to do it. There may be an additional Windows license that we have to buy, but that's usually around $1,000 to license that properly. And that's a one-time, you know, one-time licensing type cost, or one time every time they make you update Windows, but that's every 3 to 4 years.
We're familiar with them one time every time.
Yes, sir.
We have Windows now.
I didn't want you to hear. I had a question one time saying, you know, they told us when we bought this new computer thing, we would never need to buy another. And I said, I'm not going to ever tell you that because that's not truthful. And now I will tell you, if you can ever get fiber optic to your community, that is the end of that process. And people said, oh, yeah, we've heard that before. I said, yeah, but nothing moves faster than the speed of light. So that's just a science thing. They may expand their footprint. They may replace their equipment. But if you can ever get fiber to your citizens, that's the end goal. So I don't think science is going to discover.
So I have a lot of, you know, you'll have to forgive me. I know I've had this for 2 whole weeks, but I have some other things I have to work on in my spare time too. And I spent a lot of time reviewing this late last week and Monday, and looked up some law and some things this yesterday and Monday regarding the this term of the agreement. Because I do agree with you, the statute regarding the commissioners being able to get out of something if they don't budget it is very clear. But there's also a law, and it's in the Constitution and in some statutes, that says if the commissioners board enters into a multi-year agreement, that they don't just have the right to terminate, period.
Sure.
And it's just, there's just a period there. It doesn't say under any of these other, it just says period.
Yeah.
That they must create an interest and sinking account for that. That's what it says pretty clearly. I think I'll read it out for them. I think that we need to address some of those things and make sure that we don't get ourselves into a situation that it's very difficult to get out of. Because right now we're not in a situation that's difficult to get out of,
right.
So let's make sure we don't get in there.
Well, and if this needs to be considered a future date, that's completely reasonable. But we see that often. However, we need to work through that with y'all. That will not stop us from continuing to move forward with the interviews and all the things we're going to talk about in the transition.
So for our conversation, that in paragraph one, it's so. It says there in the third sentence, I believe, it says this agreement will be renewed for additional 2-year term upon the delivery of written notice of such renewal by vendor to customer.
Yes, sir.
So it would seem to me like it would be up to the customer to deliver notice to the vendor whether they wanted to extend it.
My understanding is, I may be sitting in the same round table with you, but nowhere in your legal knowledge by any means I don't claim to be. I thought there was a provision in there that says that either party can cancel it before it renews, but basically it's just set to renew it unless there's action taken.
So there are some other sections. They're further back here. They're not in the same place.
Okay.
They're back here in the back. They're back here somewhere else. Yes, there is something back here. And another section that talks about that as well, I think. But it does go on down through this paragraph to talk about some 90-day and 30 days, and who can and who can't, and who will and who won't, which I don't particularly care for.
We'll be happy to work through those. If we need, like I said, if we need to clean up the language or make that more.
But those are for, so that from that sentence on, it's talking about 2-year extensions after the initial 3-year period. Because it talks about the vendor notifying the county of any proposed changes and the county's rights to accept or not those changes.
Right. Yes, sir.
Basically. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff going on in that paragraph.
Yes, sir.
A lot of things in that paragraph.
Well, and I will tell you, just in transparency, we've had counties request that move to 1 year. Why that's in there is we've had counties that got to the end of the 3 years. There was not a provision to extend it. And so they had to start the entire process over again of art designer, et cetera. And so that's why it's structured the way it is. But again, we'll be happy to tweak that to what is fair for both parties and what company. And I will point out that we talked about the note, you know, like who are the two points of contact. That's just from a management standpoint and an IT standpoint. In paragraph 24, it talks about if there are any kind of written notices or disputes or contract discussions or challenges to that. And that by default goes to the county judge and to Mr. Pelletier's attorney.
So that's not, so I would, of course, I'd be more happy to visit with your attorney about it. I think he or she, I can't remember.
It's Greg Smith, yes, sir.
So as you may or may not know, there are provisions in the statutes that allow for the county to go out for bids for stuff in the interim multi-year contracts. But those are specific statutes regarding specific items. Like depository contracts, for example,
sure,
2 to 4 years and extensions are specific to the statute. There's other statutes that specifically say you can do a 1 year deal with a 2 year extension. There's specific statutory allowances for those. There's all laws also very clear that a county has only that authority which is given to it by statute. And I cannot, and I have looked, and that's the reason I have not gotten back with anybody about this yet, because I've been looking for it because I thought that it existed, but I cannot find a statute that says the county can do it in a managed IT set, right? I can't find it. I don't mean it doesn't exist, because as you may or may not know, the law, you know, there's enough books to cover up that wall.
Right.
That's and then AG's opinions that don't always, to my opinion, agree with the law. Right. You know, you got those to boot, and then case law on top of that. So but I can't find it. I can't find it. And I know me and Judge talked about it a while back, and I told him that I thought that it was okay, because I really did. I thought there was a specific statute that dealt with IT that allowed you to do multi-year contracts, but I cannot find it. But I have been looking for it. I've continued to look for it, and I can't find it.
One thing I'll say, Mr. Bell, is I don't know that that exists, calling out IT specifically, because the Texas statutes, from what we've seen, it talks about telecommunications more than anything. In professional services, while I would argue all day long, this is a professional service. You're buying an opinion, you're buying expertise. Professional services has not been updated since the 80s or maybe early 90s of the definition of that. So it still just says architect, attorney, and...
Well, there's a different definition in the local government code than there is in the government.
Sure.
Because one of them the state worries about it, and one of them the state doesn't worry about it, because it just applies to local governments, so they don't care about it. They don't apply to it.
And so we granted
then something. You have a special statute of high technology out. Like you said, special statutes deal with professional services. And then you have personal services, which is a whole different section, which, you know, we've done some work under personal services contracts before. And so I've looked at all of that, and I can't find the provision that I swore existed about the multi-year contract that dealt with this kind of stuff. But in my spare time, I have been looking. And I've looked various times in various hours of the day and night, and I can't find it. But maybe your lawyer knows where it is. I'm sure your lawyer's reviewed these contracts before, and probably, you know, but maybe they've got it. Maybe they've got it in one of their files.
I don't know the answer to that. They wrote this with our input, trying to make it more simple in the technical type issues, because I didn't want to be able to, I didn't want to have to sit down with someone and say, I have no clue what any of this stuff says. I want it to be plain language as much as possible, where, you know, I tell people that, you know, any good agreement or working relationship has to be a two-way street. If it's too lopsided for one, it's not good. If it's too lopsided for the other, it's not good. And while I'm sitting on the opposite side of the table as y'all right now, you know, once we get past this agreement, I'm sitting on your side of the table, like, you know, as a part of your team, and we We want that to be fair and transparent at all times, because we work with all of your vendors, and hopefully we'll be working with this group to, you know, improve service for Florio County. And we try to hold everyone accountable, but we try to hold ourselves to the same standard.
And Mr. Goldsmith, I know your attorney will agree with me. We don't deal with the, you know, sunshiny days and everything working out perfectly. We never get called unless it, you know, things are not working out, things are not going right. And then somebody calls us and says, well, you reviewed that contract. Did you not see that in there? Why did you leave that in there? This is not good for us.
I understand.
Sounds like you guys have heard that horse, and then you might as well make a motion to table number 9 until after executive session.
Thank
you. We've got a motion to table item 9 from Commissioner Weddle and a second from Commissioner Matthews. I would ask, Mr. Bell, obviously, you've identified terms in multiple year terms. Are there specifically any other items that you've identified at this point that become hard sticking points? On the surface of it, I mean, if it's...
So that is probably the main legal issue that I have at this point with this contract, yes. There are other things that I have underlined and highlighted that I have questions about, like print servers, for example. Mm-hmm. There are things regarding updated systems, regarding things that have current support, including support for the version and build of such system and implementation by customer. It must be currently supported. I don't know that we know what that is, what we're agreeing to there. We're responsible to upgrade operating systems with all cost of the upgrade to be borne by the customer, or the customer shall enter into a plan with the vendor to update such unsupported systems. For example, we have a list of computers that we've talked about before that are out of warranty. The systems on those computers are possibly not supported any longer, some of them. There are systems that we have that are possibly not supported or don't have the supported by the manufacturer. And I have questions about that. Not necessarily. I mean, that's not, you said big sticking points on the contract.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not really a big sticking point on this contract. Just a question I have, something I think we ought to flesh out and address and get an idea about what that's going to look like moving forward. And we've talked in our meeting the other day, we talked about the, we had our little IT group meeting about the, we're going to have to enter into a plan with the vendor to update unsupported systems.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about that. I mean, we know that's coming. And so I think the way I read this, that will be under one of two options for that process, because it is not included in this contract, in this fee. It will be either, we'll just be through the TIPS agreement. It'll be through the TIPS agreement, looks to me like. That's what it will be. We will have to, because I don't believe that those are special projects. I think special project is, you know, upgrading, transitioning a department or doing something. But I don't know that for a fact. That's just how I feel. I think that the upgrading of those systems and such will be something that we will request. I think they will help us come up with a scope of work and we will submit that to, we understand it, we'll submit that TIPS for a bid.
They'll verify it.
And they'll verify that price, and then the court can move forward. That's the way I think that works. But now, if you was to tell me, you have to tell me that that is one way or another, whether that's a service we're going to do through TIPS or whether that's a project, special project. I can't tell you that for sure. I don't know the answer to that question, but I do want to know the answer to that question because I think it's important. And so I've got a little note wrote here that says, what does this mean exactly?
Which section was that, Brandon?
So right now I'm talking about the sentence right in the middle of 9A and page 4.
Okay.
Now, that language is repeated in other paragraphs in the document. I mean, I can't tell you. I didn't highlight it in every spot because I thought one was enough. But I do think we need to have a good handle before this agreement signed on whether or not the plan to update unsupported systems is, because it says rates shall be as defined in this agreement, and it says, and not subject to out-of-agreement support rates, which, so it's not going to be subject to the out-of-agreement support rates. Well, I don't know what that means exactly, because out-of-agreement support rate to me is the IT professional services hourly and block of time, which it reports to, which it responds, it says TIPS. Well, that's in-agreement support only. Out-agreement support. So out-agreement support is on the next page, which does not say TIPS, and it has project management. So I think if we go to this page, the second page of Schedule A, Section 8, in-agreement support, and we would either go to IT professional services hourly under the TIPS agreement, or we would go to project. There would be a project. I don't know what you guys
think. Well, I'm going to preface all this today, maybe, but that's my understanding of what you just explained. And my understanding is the out of support is if you let the agreement completely run it out and there is no agreement that's expired, and then you say, oh, now we want you to do X, Y, Z, we have that would have to be a scope of work, which we could still propose on TIPS as long as we're an authorized approved TIPS vendor, which we have to renew, or we have to rebid every 3 years. But it can default to that out of support rate, which is higher than TIPS because TIPS is already pre-bid discounted.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting this, but I would point out that if we need to put this entire agreement, if that helps solve the term issue, if we need to put this entire agreement on TIPS.
So that's something I want to visit that about. That's something I want to visit your report about, because I have a question for them.
Sure.
I'm curious about
it. Sure, I'm not kind of.
And it's okay. I probably agree with you, Mr. Bill Smith.
Well, you pushed me to the edge of my legal knowledge. That doesn't take very long. But these are all challenges that all counties deal with, where it's an if then, but then there's just a big blank space where you think that someone would have clearly defined how to deal with this. And again, we had one issue with a government organization in Austin called the Professional Bureau of Land Surveyors and Professional Engineers. And they define what an engineer is based on this 1970 definition. And it talks about telecom. It doesn't say anything about IT because IT didn't really exist then. And it's just the states behind all of those definitions. They finally came around to our way of seeing it, but it took some lawyering and some twisting of the arm to explain to them what the problems were. But apparently, come to find out, myself, the way I define engineer, meaning IT, and Mr. Musk and the University of Texas Austin and Texas Tech and everyone else defines it the same way. It's just someone in the cubicle in Austin didn't see it that way, but they do now.
So we've seen that. We've dealt with that before also.
Yeah.
So So on that particular issue, what is your position on whether or not that would be a in agreement support professional services hourly, or would that be a project?
Anything that we do that needs a scope of work, which we're still assessing, you know, what is the state of the affairs when it comes to the computers. If we need to replace five computers here and five computers there, we're not going to get held up on saying that's a project just to come back to you for, you know, $2,500 or something. Like, that's just a pain point, so just fixing the problem. Now, if we say we need to replace 100 computers or 50 computers or something, then we're going to have to define a scope of work. And that would be an in agreement scope of work. And how we typically do that is we build a scope of work based on what we think the need is, and then we stick to that scope of work. If you go over, it's still in that scope of work. If you go under, it's still in that scope of work. It's that way the court is clearly defined. This is what we're going to do. This is the result, and this is the cost. And there's not some fluctuating, oh, we need a change order. We don't do change orders. Like, you know, that's, I know that's what y'all are used to with construction.
Since we met the other day, I found my list that I couldn't find the other day. And so, because it was in my commissioner's court,
okay,
instead of in my IT folder, because I'm going to put it in my IT folder in just a minute. So there's a lot of them.
Yes,
there's
sir.
There's a lot of units that, so every one of these units, the warranty has expired on, and most of them are on the old Windows that's frozen out.
Well,
and I think my last count, and I could be wrong, there were 73 of them, but I think it's gone up since then. That we found some more, but so that would be so. Okay, so updates for such unsupported systems, we would enter into a plan with the vendor to update those unsupported systems, and that depending on the scope of that project, it would either be a hourly or a, no, it sounds to me like it would just be a project. It would be a scoped out, it would be a project.
That's the way we would handle it. So they ask us to handle it differently.
Okay.
And our goal would be any computer that we can just update to Windows 11, which I know you and I, this is kind of getting a little technical, but you and I have had this conversation. We just want to upgrade them. We're not as worried about warranty right now. That is a goal, but we're just trying to get you to where you're on Windows 11, which the state and all the staff and all the regulatory stuff requires. Windows 10 is no longer supported. How we get there may be a little bit of all of the above. It may be replace all this department and just upgrade these in place, meaning you don't have to swap out the equipment, but you are facing a capital expenditure cost when it comes to replacing those computers, which I think y'all are well aware of. And that's part of what we're doing now is like an assessment of what all those are and what makes sense to just run the update to Windows 11 versus what makes sense to replace. When it talks about unsupported systems, how I would see us moving forward, especially over the next year with Port Hope County, is we want to have some inventory here that the county owns, like some spare computers, et cetera, so that if we have older ones and they drop, we can replace it right then, just under the IT services agreement. But we need to, we want to standardize as much as possible. We want to get things under warranty as much as possible, but that out of support is like, if we have no place to go and there's no, you know, if I know y'all wouldn't do this, but if y'all were to say, well, knew what you're getting into when you took this on, and we're not buying new computers and we're not upgrading to Windows 11 and we're not upgrading this scope of work and we're just going to do this and you've got to make us compliant. Well, there's no way to do that. And so that's kind of why that language is there, is to make sure that it's clear that there's ongoing costs no matter who's sitting in my chair, you know, and y'all's court has been very engaged on this process. I think y'all are aware of what a lot of those gotchas are.
Oh, yeah.
As far as gotchas that we've seen so far, some cabling issues are more than anything. And then there's a couple of security items that I don't want to talk about in open court, but that we need to address immediately. So this government is like, oh, wow, we've never seen this in a county, and that's absolutely, you know, crazy. We haven't seen that with one exception from the sheriff's office, but they're still running their 911 system on a 300-odd baud modem, which is slower than the fax machine. And it's not them doing it. It's just that's the technology in place. But I know there's a plan to move to a new system, and we've visited about that, and we want to champion that and help make that transition as fast as possible, just to improve the reliability of that. But that's the only thing that I have read about in a book when I went to school that talked about technology history that I haven't actually seen in 15 or 20 years. So, but it's working. So, you know, it's hard to criticize it if it's working, but we just know it's not a long-term plan.
I don't want to get too far outside of what the item to consider is. But I do think it's worth noting that there have been communications that I think all of the members of the court have been privy to that indicate that there are multiple year contracts that people are claiming that we are held to. And I won't say anything more than that, but I think it is warranted that that statement is made in open court, and we can discuss the finer details of that. But
I agree with both, but there is a motion and a table on the floor too to take, so we can discuss all day long.
Yes, but I appreciate that, and we're about to get to that, Commissioner. But okay. It was worth, from my standpoint, worth noting.
I agree.
And that's all I had to say on that.
I agree with it.
So with that, there is a motion to table item number 9 and a second. And again, I reiterate that the table came from Commissioner Weddle with the second from Commissioner Matthews. Very good discussion. Hopefully we'll get some at least resolution or guidance later in the meeting. So with that, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. So with that, and obviously I did not do a good job of grouping some of these together, but I think that it would be warranted. We've touched on it just a little bit, but let's pick up with item number 15, which is discussion and consideration of transition of IT services, since we're kind of right here along that same line. Mr. Goldsmith, would you like to give us an update of kind of what we've over the last 2 weeks?
Yes, sir. Well, things are progressing. We've met with some of the key departments, and we're going to continue to meet with your other departments this week, starting today, tomorrow, and then we're looking at even possibly Friday. I won't be available Friday, but we're looking at having people here for Friday as well. We've met with tax, county judge, sheriff, jail, CID, all of their operations, which is, as you know, from a budget standpoint, an employment standpoint, and challenge standpoint, but that they deal with a lot. That's a huge bulk of your IT needs, and they've been all of those have been and also Mr. Bell with the county attorney with discussing the agreements and other agreements that are in place that the county has that we're trying to work through, renewals, etc. But also getting kind of the 30,000 foot view and the 10,000 foot view, and then we've gotten into some 500 foot views where we get down the weeds on things, and so I appreciate his time. But everything has gone well so far. There are, you know, some things that need to be addressed, but overall things are in good shape in most offices and most departments. There's still a lot of siloed islands, meaning like this office is completely independent of this other stuff. And so I think there's room for not just improvements there from a how the user interacts with IT, but also some improvements in like the network resiliency, meaning like the network works more consistently, and then also some cost savings that could be realized there that we can shift to fund some of these other projects. And just one example I'd give you is like the tax office operates as their own independent system, like completely outside the county. So this building has multiple internet connections coming into it. And if you're in one department, you're on this internet. And if you're in another department, you're on that internet. And if you're there, you're on a different. We want to improve that, which is going to get the best result for your end users, but also it's just going to make it easier to support and more efficient cost-wise for the county. We've compiled, and I've worked with Steve on our team, which some of you all have met. He's been out here a few times, even before we were selected. And then Angie on our team, who handles a lot of the back end stuff. And we are about to, for lack of a better term, carpet bomb your treasurer and auditor with a list of things that we need, like agreements, invoices, that type of stuff. So I hope to have a chance to talk to y'all about that today. It doesn't mean we need it tomorrow, but there are things that if we could review some invoices, which has always been the intention, it's just there were way more than we expected. And so we were trying to surface all of them so we'd have to go to them five times. We could just go to them with one request for information and then get that. But that's going to help surface some additional issues. We did meet as the IT Transition Committee, I guess a week ago, this past Friday. And then we have a Zoom, just kind of catch up, touch base, scheduled for Monday the 17th, which is this coming Monday. Judge, if you could help us with the contact list, if you sent that to us, I haven't seen it. But if you could help us with that, I'll make sure the office gets the Zoom or Teams or whatever sent out to everyone so that we can just have a quick touch base on Monday. And I think for those that are participating, that best schedule currently for 11 a.m. besides the, as I mentioned, the next steps are kind of like data gathering, which I'm trying to know Mr. Wood and the treasurer's team, they can help us with that. We're continuing to do review of your buildings and document. Colin on our team has started building documentation of every system, every challenge, everything that we've seen so far, and compiling it in a report that ultimately you'll get to see. We're continuing with the interviews of department heads that I mentioned. And then we've built out as much of the infrastructure that we can on our end, which is mainly the software and programming and stuff we have in our cloud, so that we can start onboarding your entire system, Portal County, that is. One thing that I want to put on your radar is when we come back to this licensing, at some point when we come back with additional items, if the court can do this now, I'll be happy to do it now. But what we'd like to do is have a base of materials here that you own. And what I mean is parts, supplies, cables, connectors, keyboards, extra stuff that we would keep in one central location. That location, I need some input on where that would be. It needs to be somewhere where we can get to it, but where everyone can't just go to it like, oh, I need another ream of copy machine paper and take it. And our experience is for county shelf size, we've done this before. That helps us support you faster. And technology, as you know, Best Buy and all these Fry's Electronics, and all these places that you used to be able to drive to, maybe in Waco, those don't exist hardly anymore. And if they do, you'll pay $27 for a cable. It should cost you about $3. And so our goal is to kind of have that baseline of just the consumable type stuff here on site. And then we'll be happy to work with y'all on how we need to track that. We track in our ticketing system. We provide reports of, you know, what gets used where. But at some point, I'm going to need clear guidance on what the county tracks from an asset standpoint. And I would strongly encourage you to set a dollar amount of an asset, and then we track that. Every county does it differently. Some make it very easy to do. Some make it where we spend most of our time tracking assets and not getting problems solved. Just because they're so worried about being accountable for that $3 item, which I understand. But the counties that it's been kind of the two-way street, the best bang for your buck, is they set a dollar amount, say if it's over $500, we have to have an asset tag and we have to track that inventory, or, you know, whatever that dollar amount is. But we don't want to get down to this is a $30 keyboard and mouse and this is a $3 cable that we have to track, because that does not get a good result for you. And that just buries us in paperwork that we're working on more paperwork. And so my point is, when we address the supplies, I don't know, because you have an IT budget, if I can just present that list of supplies that we want to purchase and drop ship here. And does that take Commissioner's Court action, or can someone just approve that, or can we just submit the invoice for it and it get considered as a part of the payables? I would welcome any feedback you have on how you want us to move forward with that. And I will tell you this, we don't have to go crazy on that, but we had a county that we spent probably about $15,000 the first wave, and we spent another $30,000 or $40,000 the second wave. But most of the bulk of that was every battery backed up in the county was faulty on their computers, and we want a battery backed up on every single computer in this environment. And those are about $170, $150 to $170, depending on what you get a piece. So that was the cost driver there. I'm not saying that we need that much up front, but we need to start getting some of that stuff shipped here. And It'll ship directly here. Anything we can purchase on cooperative purchasing agreement, TIPS by board, the IR, et cetera, that's how it's going to happen. You'll be invoiced directly for it from that vendor. There are some things that we can buy more economically on Amazon. If you have an Amazon account and you want us to just submit it to your purchasing people and they purchase exactly what we tell them, not, oh, this is close, but exactly, then we'll be happy to do that. If not, what we typically do is we will purchase that, drop ship at your location. It'll come from an invoice from us, but we can attach the Amazon invoice as well, just to show that's just a pass-through cost on our end. We don't mark that stuff up. But it's usually easier for us to order it and track it and make sure that we got what we're supposed to and then just invoice the county for it. Because it's, you're talking about $100 here, you know, top items. But those are the things I have for you. I'll be happy to answer any of your questions. I'm sorry. Let me just add, I have started meeting with some vendors on your behalf. Specifically, there's one internet company that I've met with, so I welcome the conversation with Spectrum Charter here, because getting a secondary internet connection, we know has all been on y'all's go list, and then building out fiber to your buildings on this campus is at the top of the need list. And so I'm hoping that we can work with someone that's already going to be building out fiber in Gatesville to see if we can partner with them to make that happen. But that's kind of an ongoing conversation. But we have started meeting with some companies about that. I've reached out to Nextlink. I've reached out to Conterra, which is a company that y'all are probably knowledgeable about because they only sell to the big, they don't sell the residential, but they have fiber here in your community. And they typically support schools, hospitals, government, and cell phone towers. Like, they're a big nationwide fiber carrier. So sorry, but that's what I have for you. Yes, sir.
We do have an Amazon account, but you know, whatever your experience is on what's the most efficient manner of procurement, that'd be great. I think if you could provide us your initial list of items that you would like, or you think we should have, I think it would be pretty easy to get with myself, Commissioner Weddle, and Mr. Wood, and we could determine what, you know, looking at projected cost, what we would have available up front based off of what you're recommending. We should be able to do that pretty easily. And then that would be presented, of course, to the court, you know, as part of, you know, bills to be paid.
Sure.
Yes, sir. But we would have multiple eyes on it. And I think that would be the best approach at this point to be able to get it through efficiently.
And Judge, we're not going to try to stockpile mass amounts of stuff. You know, like in business, sometimes you want to spend down before your budget and then turn on a purchase. But we're just going to purchase consumables that we know that we need to have here on site, just so that we can resolve a 5-minute problem in 5 minutes instead of, so, oh, it's going to be 2 days to get that order.
And I think we've got some independent, relatively secure storage area that we could set those items up in, and wouldn't be an issue. Yeah, there were the two things that I owed you. I wanted to make sure. I know I gave you a hard copy of the building list. Did I ever send you that building list digitally?
I think you sent that, but let me look, Judge, because I think I'm looped in on so many emails that I rely on our team to help sort through those. And but I know that contact list is what I was after.
Okay.
Of the IT transition committee and then all the elected officials. And we've compiled some of that, but I just anything we can have that is their email contact and even a cell phone contact, we will not disclose that or give that out. But
okay.
If we're in an outage situation or election or some kind of major thing, we want to be able to communicate to them directly.
Yep. Okay. Anything else from the court on transition of IT services?
Yeah, I'm not going to be here on the 17th, whatever it is. But I am curious what's on the agenda for that day to discuss. I assume it's going to be a short meeting since it's scheduled for 11. But some of the things that I am curious about having a plan for sooner rather than later, I think I've already talked to Rich Goldsmith about you know, our backup, our some of our licenses or some of our hardware is and We obviously we visit about that. Yes, sir. Before we visit about that before Monday.
Yes, sir.
I'm not leaving until Saturday, so I'll be around the rest this week.
Okay.
I just need to touch base.
And I have someone working through that scale, and they need to try to get me up to that we visit about. So,
yes, sir. Yeah, we can just visit about that later.
As far as Monday, though, I think it's just a quick touch base, like where we are. It's not like any major decisions. Yeah. It's just kind of a check-in. Our team is attending a conference later in that week, and so I just wanted to make sure we had that check-in before that time frame, and before we get into the Thanksgiving holiday. I also hope that after this week, we will have a clear transition date. That's the goal we're shooting towards, of like clearly defining that. And with what we're requesting from Auditor Treasurer and then some of the conversations Mr. Belt and I've been having, but we're shooting for kind of mid-December as an official cut-over top date is the goal right now. I don't want you to hold me to that specifically, but I also don't want that to walk too much creep too much, because we want to have this transition clearly defined going into the holidays. And we have on-call support and all that fun stuff to address the holidays, just because when everyone comes back in January, they're kind of groggy and got the Christmas sluggishness. And then we don't want to hit them on January 2nd with, okay, now you're old and all this has changed type thing. I want to kind of walk into that, during this time frame of December.
Yeah, we've talked about it some, but like the RDS system, stuff that's in the data center, our current backup system, that may not all get transitioned over on December 15th.
Right.
The getting their systems loaded on the R systems where they can start monitoring them like our current provider does and doing the break fix stuff, I think December 15th is a good date for that. I don't know that we can transition that other stuff over at the same time. I think we need to do that PC part first,
right,
and then the big, when I say big, the voluminous part of those is transitioning back up over. I think we ought to have our other stuff pretty high and tight before we go to
right.
Moving our, saying, okay, now we're going to move all of our backup stuff right. over, or whatever we're going to do. Or maybe we just change the management agreement name from our current backup from our previous vendor to our current vendor. Maybe that's all we have to do, sure. But we'll figure that out. That'd be my goal.
Yes, sir.
Is to do the PC part on the ground, break fix stuff first, and then move through RDS part and the backup part, all that stuff.
And I think kind of what you're speaking to is, and I did not address, so I appreciate you bringing that up. We need to have an overlap. So even in the desktop part of it, so we've got to clearly define on our side when the start date is, and that's what we're talking about, that December. And then we need to have an overlap, both from a data center standpoint, as well as just, supporting day-to-day stuff. And hopefully, I told Mr. Bell that I was going to get him a list, and I pretty much got that done, but it kind of got stuck in my to-do list to visit with the current vendor. But once we provide that to them, which is some of the things that we've got questions about, some things Mr. Bell and I visited about agreement-wise, then we want their input on that, and we want to make sure that it's not my decision, but I would hope the court would entertain, that transition period being defined very clearly on their part, and a two-way street on their part as well. Meaning not like we're not going to ask them to do everything in the world when they're on the way out, but just trying to get those things defined clearly so that they can give input as well to be fair and to try to get the best result for the Oriole County.
And I've visited with them, and I've told them about our visit, but you report on that.
Yes,
I think that's just our plan. I will let you know if the plan changes, but I promise.
Okay.
That is our plan.
Yes, sir.
Still our plan.
Okay, any, excuse me.
I think two fun positives. All this is point, just talking about all this other stuff. One of the things that they've done is they've got a dedicated line for us, and it's really easy to remember 254-77-8877. So our employees will have that number, dedicated to them. And then I believe you said you're going to create mouse pads.
Yeah, those will be here. Those have been ordered, and they have our information on them. They have how to contact us, how to submit a ticket on them. And as we onboard every computer, we will put that at every computer. We usually ask the user, to put their one with their picture of their dog or whatever off to the side, just because we want that right there where they know how to submit a ticket, how to send an email, how to contact us, put their dedicated number for the
account. You see, this is a problem I have with my client, because you told him not to release that number, and he...
it is working. It's still a computer reporting, and it'll be a human reporting here shortly. But we do that for larger counties specifically so that we can track how many calls we take for y'all. But also, if Coryell County says, hey, we're going to be open, not something every county does, but we're going to be open later on this date because we're doing some, meet and greet with public or open house or something, we can have that number to where it goes to human, and on a schedule that fits Coryell County's needs. And obviously, we have a toll-free number that people can call and open a ticket.
I was just proud of myself in the day of relying on our cell phones that I can actually remember a number in my head. I used to have 40 or 50 phone numbers memorized. Now
then you forgot your cell phone.
Yeah, I did. I forgot my cell phone today.
Okay, anything else I can do for y'all? Thank y'all so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Goldsmith.
And I'm around today, so if y'all have anything else, I'll be happy to answer it.
Thank you.
And again, I am jumping around just a little bit, so let's drop one down. If we could pick up item number 14, which was discussion concerning imposing a burn ban for all or portions of Coryell County. Since our last meeting, Commissioner Taylor had asked for us to have a follow up with that. Since our last meeting, we've still received some good weather. I would say overall, looking at the KBD index for yesterday, we were at 406 was the average for the county, the low being 330 and the high being 487. So we're well within the yellow, the cautionary. But I acknowledge that it is going to get drier. I think we had our first frost. So some moisture will be leaving some of the taller plants if they're still out there. I don't know that it would warrant, action today, but I assure the court that I'm fully willing to support if the conditions were to change drastically, that we could establish a burn ban and then address that at our next meeting to extend that as needed. But I would welcome comments from Mr. Vaden is here, as well as Commissioner Taylor, since this was something you'd requested.
So turn it over to him because he's the one. We are having more and more small grass fires, and most of those are coming from control burns. They're just getting out of control. We found the largest one, we maybe went 5 acres. I took a poll of all fire departments except Copper's Cove. They just never answered the poll. But I've never known them not to want to burn a ban. So all the other departments in the county are encouraging you to put on a burn ban now. And the grass, if those of you are out in the county, the grass is probably about knee high right now. We have so much abundance of rain during the year. All the counties, I believe, around us except Hamilton County is now under burn bans, and they're all around the same KBDI as we are. So yesterday I was talking to somebody about KBDI, and I talked to them, and it was the county. What is Ferguson County?
Extension Agent.
Ag Extension.
Yeah.
AgriLife.
And he was trying to explain to me that I never knew. I knew what KBDI was, but he said, well, that's not really good. A really good indication. It's about moisture in the ground and moisture in the plant. Yesterday also, the Texas Forest Service sent out a pretty lengthy report. You should have gotten that, Judge. I don't know if all of you did it or not. But they are
predicted us to have a bad from here on out because of all the high grasses that are predicted us to have a hard grass, hard fire season. So we're just trying to get a jump on that. And we, like I say, we have not had anything large, but sometimes smalls become large sooner or later. And the grass is certainly not going to come back even if it rained this weekend. It's dead. So I my deal in here is we are ready for the burn ban. People had bukus of time to burn, and there's somebody burning every day. So I'm just here to ask you to go ahead. If you feel like it, you can put it on. If you want to put it off 2 weeks, we'll then put it off 2 more weeks or whatever you mean again. I'm not sure. I lost track of that.
That is, that's pretty close to 2 weeks.
Yeah. So I'm here at your will, whatever you want. I'll answer any questions you have, but my main purpose here is to encourage you to put one on at the request of all the fire departments in the county, except Calico. I feel like they would request it if they, I'm not sure, sometimes maybe my emails don't get to the right person over there. Yeah, so.
Okay, thank you.
And just to reiterate, according to the Texas A&M Forest Service, what Mr. Vaden has described to you is very accurate. So around us, Bosque County, Somerville County, Hood County, Erath, Comanche, Brown, Mills, Lampasas, Bell, Williamson, Burnett, those are all counties that have a burn ban that are huddled around us.
Excuse me, Judge. Did McClellan, are they having
that? Right now, it is indicating that McLennan does not have one. Hamilton, Coryell, McLennan, Falls, Limestone, and Hill counties do not. And then as you work.
What I read last week, McClellan put one on. Yeah.
I'm not going to say that this is updated or not updated. It's just what I'm looking at from them for today.
I made the motion we put on the burn ban.
Okay. Do you want to set a time frame on that? 30 days, 60 days?
And reevaluate at the end of that, I guess.
Okay.
We may have 2 foot of snow in 30 days, who knows?
Yeah.
We still would have grass fires because the grass is taller than 2 foot.
We have grass fires when it rains.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable making that motion effective November 13th? That would be tomorrow morning?
Yes.
The trees that just keep giving.
They just keep coming.
All right, I'll second that motion.
And just to let you know, our first meeting in December would be December 9th. So we could then readdress the burn ban on December 9th. Falls within that 30 days that we're establishing under this burn ban order. So as I understand it, there is a motion on the floor to establish a burn ban in accordance with our historical verbiage within the burn ban order for a period of 30 days, effective sunrise November 13th. Is that the motion? Okay, and you're comfortable with that second? And then the intent to be to address that again on December 9th. Mr. Vaden, is that got everything covered?
Suits me, whatever suits y'all.
Okay.
I'm easy going.
We've got a motion and a second. Yes, Mr. Bell?
So just, don't see anything anymore. This will be on that standard form that you usually use that has language in it about the exceptions and the fact that if it rains, that the county judge can lift it for a day or two if conditions allow it and between now and then.
Yes, sir. I will generate that and I'll get a copy of that over to you to make sure that I'm not outside my boundaries with that.
That you use all the time is fine. It's got all that language in it. I think it's fine. It's been, and I can't remember when it was, a while back we did one that didn't have some of that in it for some reason or something. I just
couldn't.
This is going to be your
standard 10-foot order.
Yes. And I think I tweaked a little bit on a previous one, and I left some language out. So that's why I might run it by you.
The one that was a one-off that was different for some reason, and that may be one. I don't remember.
Okay.
I just need to make sure that language has been there, otherwise, kind of, because I think that language has to be in the order that the Commissioner's Court gives the authority to somebody to. So.
Yep. Okay. We'll do that. And I'll take care of that. So we've got a motion and a second. Any further discussion concerning burn ban? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
Thank y'all.
Thank you, Mr. Bader.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other special items that the court thinks we need to address, or do you can go back and pick up with number eight? Okay, hearing no dissension, we'll go back to item number eight, which is update and actions on grants to include but not limited to. And we'll start off with the hazard mitigation plan, but don't believe there's been any changes with that.
All of the reimbursement documents have been uploaded to the nice ladies at the GLO, Judge.
Okay.
Right at some point, we're going to have to request a meeting. We have to drive down there and sit down with them. I don't know what it's going to take.
Okay.
I think we may have a new lady that emailed me here a while back about that. But
we've got a couple other projects that are working directly or involve them as well. So I don't think trying to firm up a new contact or be able to conduct a meeting with them, I don't think that would be an issue.
No.
Okay. All right. RCP. I have not reached out to get the workshop scheduled. Still want to try to shoot for that potentially next week or before we break for Thanksgiving. Is there any key dates that anybody has that they are out that just absolutely not available?
Lost.
So looking at time frames between the 17th and the 25th, if you will send me a list of dates that you would not be available between the 17th and the 25th of November.
The 22nd, I think, would be on
Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm probably not. I'm not inclined to schedule a workshop on Saturday. We could. We could, Commissioner. I mean, you know. But so that's what I would ask y'all to look at is 17th through the 25th, and we'll see if that can we can get that merged. Any questions under the RCP? Okay, community development block grant. Don't have an update. I think I missed our last meeting call on it. But again, just kind of the overall of that is for the next 10 months, roughly, we'll be under planning for engineering, environmental studies, which I know that they're working on the environmental study piece of this. But I don't believe that these are projected to be let for bid until August or September of 2026. And I do believe in our last meeting that they did come back and say that they were going to bid those out. Originally, they talked about bidding the three to the north side of the county as one, and then one to the south side of the county as an independent project. I believe they're going to let those all four at one time under one bid process. Any questions under the CDBG MIT?
Judge, it appears to me as if I saw an email, I believe you and Mr. Wood were both copied on it. But it was, I can't find it right this second. But our SAMS registration expires December the 3rd or 4th, and I think it's directly in relation to this project. Somebody got that on their list of things to take care of?
I do have that on my list.
Oh, here you are. Yeah, December 4th it expires. I think that this appears to me as that CBDG Med is the program that is in reference to.
I think both CDBG Med and DR4781 are both tied to that, but
yeah, the CDBG DR is also correct.
That
it'll affect any federal fund.
There is a particular contract number, so student registration, the 23160001E136, I believe, is directly related to that program. I don't think that's but I don't know. We need to ask that question because our SAMS registration is good for everything. Just one registration.
It's just one registration. That's a unique identifier.
So that E136 must be our number that's on all of our contracts.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The sheriff, they have their own.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else under CDBG Med? Okay. DR4781, I missed that update last week as well. So I don't have any additional information other than what Desiree had sent out to you during our last meeting or just prior to our last meeting on projects that have been uploaded, approved. I don't know that I would ask Mr. Wood, have we received reimbursement funds for categories A and B at this time?
I've not seen that come through, sir.
Okay.
We've seen a lot of emails coming through. Famous.
Okay. And so then the big one would be when we get into category C, which are the reimbursements for the improvements that we've done at this point, and we're hovering about $1.2 million. It was the last number that I saw on that.
So, Judge, there is a an item that needs your attention, I believe. It is a questionnaire, a risk assessment questionnaire. It's a mandatory requirement to advance our application for project consideration. They had called Desiree and asked her, not Desiree, I'm sorry, Rachel, I guess on November 7th, which was Friday, and forwarded her the email that's got the questionnaire in it. There are two things in that email. It looks like that you got it. Well, if they got your email address right, it's countyjudge@coryellecounty.org. No dots, no dashes, no nothing.
Correct.
Okay. So you should have got that on October 16th and October 28th. It looks like they sent a follow-up email, and it's something to do with, it says, the one email just says, click here for the applicant questionnaire. The second email on the 28th has got them broke out. It's got the risk assessment questionnaire. And it says this is a mandatory requirement to advance your application for project consideration. And then there's another one there that says, as part of our efforts to streamline the procurement process, we kindly request completion of the procurement questionnaire. It's got that procurement questionnaire on there as well. That might be something that you could reach out to our folks at that are managing this grant for us to take care of that procurement questionnaire. And it does not appear to me that, so somebody, who is our point of contact with Langford on this now?
I'd have to take a look. Brianna was going to have a break. She's having some kids, and she did identify it. I've got that in the email, but I don't remember off the top of my head that name, but I've got that person.
Okay.
Or they've identified that person.
So they're.
So I don't know who is supposed to be taking care of these review and signing emails that we've been getting. So like this one just came in yesterday, 10:12 a.m. But there's a few over here. This one just came in yesterday. It says the project, and it's got a number, 964552, Coryell County Roads. It's got a list of roads, 242, 247, 48, 57, 58, 63, 64, 71, 72. On event 4781DR requires your signature of the damage description and dimensions, DDD/scope/cost. It says, please click here to log into the Grants Portal account, review and sign the project's damage description and dimensions. If you have any questions, call this part of blah, blah. So, I mean, I can log in to the Grants Portal and see them. I can click here and I've got a signing credentials. I can look at them, but I'm fairly confident I'm not the one supposed to be signing off on those. We got four of them yesterday on four different projects. But we got one Monday on Indian Creek, Indian Hills, King Lane, Lutheran Church. Actually, we got three Monday. One of them is project deadlines approaching. So it says these projects are expiring within 30 days. This was on Monday, November 10th. That I assume it was an automatically generated email because it was 1:16 a.m. And it says projects expiring within 30 days. And it's got a whole list of them. But I thought the other day that we got an extension on these projects, this list of projects.
That was my understanding.
So I don't know. It says this is a notification to make you aware of the period of performance for the below projects, blah, blah, blah. And there's a whole list of them. And now it says within 30 days, you know, here a while back, we were talking about they were expiring within 90 days. There's a whole list of projects here that says they're expiring in 30 days. And they look like all the projects. Well, this one says it's expiring on November 17th. There's a whole list of them actually that expire on Monday, November 17th. When they say within 30 days, I guess they mean within 30 days or less. it says all these projects are expiring within 30 days. And I don't know who's been communicating with them about our extension.
Okay.
So it's not me. And then we got two. So now we've got six with projects that is ready for somebody to sign. It says, yeah, review and sign. What it says, damage description and dimensions. And it's got, I mean, there are a list of roads, locations on each one of those. So it's multiple project locations. And then, so last week, on the third and fourth, we got another batch of them. No, just on the fourth. And then there's some that go back. Let's see, that's our notification about our project. When did Commissioners Court meet? Never mind, that's been since then. So yeah, this is that same list from October 27th of the projects expiring on November 17th. There's a whole list of them. It says they're expiring on November 17th. And I thought that I don't know.
Well, okay, that one, Mr. Weeks at Tatum would be the point of contact, the first point of contact on it. I'll double check with him. I'll close the loop with Mr. Latham because I think he is the appropriate person, and I thought I had given him permissions to approve those projects because they're going to be based off of length, width, volumes. There's things that I would not be privy to. Well, I don't think anybody would be privy to outside of his department. So I will close the loop on him to make sure that we've got that review and sign process down.
These are for work complete.
Yes.
Right. So some of them are projects, and some of them are work completed. Like this one right here, it says work completed. So they're going to be something that we've already done.
Yes.
And then, see, we got that email the other day. Well, let's see. It was in this email that I did not get. So whenever, and I don't know why, so if it gets submitted to the grant portal through FEMA, then I get an email about it. Then yeah. I'm on there as an alternate contact. But if it's just something that they send out, that one of our project people send out, they don't copy me on it.
Okay.
So like this email that you got on 28th, I didn't get copied on it. But if you look at the stuff on it, it talks about this deal for the 28th 404.
Okay.
It's Lutheran Church Road and County Road 162. It's not the 4781 FEMA disasters, the flood stuff. It's the 404 on 162 and Lutheran Church Road. That's what the risk assessment questionnaire and the procurement questionnaire that they're wanting on. So they sent, let's see. Their subject line is HMGP 4798 Hurricane Beryl Assessment Document - Coryell County. I'm not getting copied on any of those emails on that project, which I'm not complaining about. But that appears to be what they need those. Not on the FEMA PA side. Those are on the 404 side. Those two documents. So that's not what's holding up our money that we still haven't gotten yet. But I don't know if any of these other things, these damage descriptions and dimensions are or not. They've sent piled in lately.
Like I said, I'll close the loop with Mr. Latham, either for him to tell me that yes, they're good, or for him to be able to go in and approve those.
November 17th. Projects expire within 30 days. I'm getting to figure out if that's, I don't know if these are the project completed that we need to accept, or if it's got a list of projects.
Yeah.
Some of them are work completed roads and some of them are not. Looks like Scanner Road 356 has not been completed. But there are some of their titled work completed roads.
Yes.
That are completed, and it's got other projects listed. When is their next meeting with those folks? They have them ready to meet it weekly, don't they? They have to have those weekly meetings with those folks?
2 weeks, every 2 weeks. And I'd have to double check my calendar, but I believe the next one is next Tuesday.
The day after the 17th.
No, I can get some resolution on that before this week is up, obviously. Right, anything else you have from your side on 4781? Okay. You've given me a pretty good homework list, so thank you. Anyone else on 4781? All right, hearing none. I don't have anything new news for the Leon Kais flood project. Does anyone have anything for it? Okay. Any other grants or actions that the court wishes to take? All right. Hearing none, we're going to move on to item number 10, which is to consider the letter of engagement with Singleton Clark and Company for financial audit services. This stems from RFQ that was issued by the court, respondents that had submitted their qualifications and the court's acceptance or selection of Singleton Clark and Company for the financial audit for FY 2025.
Talk about multiple years. This one set up 3 new years, correct? Doesn't find it.
I believe it indicates yearly.
This is the small print.
This is the small print.
Yeah.
And they were. But I think they gave us a projected price in their proposal for rears 2 and 3.
Yeah.
But as I read this, the time period is just 2025. Or the audit for 2025.
And like burn ban, I go to the experts. Mr. Wood, are you're comfortable with these folks so far?
I think this is the most qualified respondent to our RFP.
Agree. Very well stated. Yeah.
Then where was the paragraph about the other years?
That was in their proposal.
Okay.
Yeah, not they had outlined in the proposal the way that I've read through this contract.
The new engagement letter ever.
Yeah.
Ever audit cycle.
And that was the same format that under our previous external auditors, they did the same thing, submitted a new engagement letter annually.
I'm ready to make a motion, Judge.
I'm ready to accept the motion.
Okay. I'd make a motion that we accept the engagement letter with Singleton, Clark, and Company for Financial Audit Services 2025.
Got a motion to accept the engagement letter from Singleton, Clark, and Company from Commissioner Weddle, a second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number 10? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 11 is to consider requesting monthly financial reports from the district clerk's office. Given some of the public feedback that we had during budgeting, I'm trying to put together as many documents as I can about for financial transparency. I do not have it on here, but you will see it in our next meeting. The county judge's office will start submitting for the court's acceptance revenues under the on-site sewage and inspections, so you can see those transactions. We currently receive from the tax assessor collector as well as the county clerk's office and the other main revenue or other large revenue stream out there would be the district clerk's office. And I would encourage the court to make that a regular monthly submission for our records as well.
Is there a statutory reference for that?
There's no statutory reference. And I'm not sure that I can completely find one for anybody else either.
I think population over 199,000, I believe, was the statutory requirement. I just look at it as if we're going to, and I don't know how the county clerk's even started. I do understand the treasurer's, but if we're going to request it, then you might as well request it from anybody that runs the register, and that would be the JPs, that would be, who else?
County attorney's office.
District attorney's office.
Sheriff's office.
Sheriff's office. Constables, you know, I think that's the, I think that's the bulk of the list. There may be one other, but anyway, that's my thought.
So, Judge, the I think the commissioner's court could, if the auditor and treasurer would entertain y'all, I suppose, put together a monthly report to put out of all of the things that y'all wanted to highlight, I guess. You know, put out a monthly report for everything, but then everything kind of gets lost in the minutiae of, you know, office supplies and various things, you know, maybe. But maybe people care about that, too. I don't know if you leave it out, it'll be the thing they care about. Like, what are y'all doing on office supplies? Y'all didn't put that in. So I guess that would be my, you know, I would be concerned. I think that there are, I didn't go back, I didn't go look, but a long time ago I did, and maybe the reason the county clerk still does it is because there may be an old statute that says they have to, and whether it still exists or not, who knows? I haven't looked. Wouldn't surprise me if the county clerk doesn't have a statutory obligation to present some kind of reports and should be a county clerk, but I bet it's an old statute. And tax assessor collector, I'm sure there is a statute of some kind that says they have some obligation to report their collections to the court.
Right.
But I haven't gone look that up either. But you know, if the I've been getting a lot of emails too, Judge, and phone calls about transparency and stuff, various things. So I mean, maybe the court needs to consider putting together some kind of report that they present monthly to the citizens about things that you think are important to them based on their requests slash feedback, or just give them it all. Every month after closeout, obviously we have that information and it is available to the public, every bit of it, about income and expenses. And a lot of it's available. It just may not be in the most presentable format for a lay person to mow through, but then again, getting, you know, some of these reports are not meaningful necessarily to a lay person either, but
right.
If you get a report from the district clerk and you post it, what's it going to mean to the people if they don't have it broke down in a way that they can easily ascertain what's going on? I don't know how else to say it, but
it's almost like we kind of do stuff now. Once we get the financial intelligence, you know, it'll be kind of almost a redo. So it's almost like, wait, maybe see how this financial intelligence gives us better, right? Because I agree, our reporting stuff right now is not the user, you know, public friendly. And I'm not mean hiding anything. It's just hard to, you know, understand. You and I went through the expenses that one day, and unless you know, it's very difficult to understand. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a, you know, problem with it, but I agree with, you know, Commissioner Matthews. Is I think we need to look at, you know, the whole body, because we're going to do it, you know, for one, and then why? What's the reason? And then are we going to avoid it? everybody who collects money, which I guess would also include, well, he already does. Right now we get it from tax assessor collector.
Yes.
Yes. County clerk.
Yeah. County clerk.
And but the rest of us, a lot for the county attorney's office, all of our transactions are posted and ran through and audited by the auditor's office and the treasurer's office.
Yes.
The every deposit, every penny my office collects, and every penny my office spends goes through the auditor's office and the treasurer's office. Obviously, the deposits have the treasurer first. The treasurer makes a deposit, makes a ticket, for lack of a better term, puts code, sends it to Mr. Wood. He knows where it gets deposited at, where it gets credited to, and every expense obviously goes to Mr. Wood to start with. Gets run through the system to make sure it's being paid in accordance with the law and the budget, and then gets submitted to the court for payment. It all gets coded with the proper expense code out of the proper line item out of the proper fund of the budget.
I like your idea of a consolidated. We could, you know, hopefully financial intelligence will.
We already have that before, sir.
Okay. Yeah, it's consolidated now. It's just whether you can understand
whether,
it. Yeah.
Whether you want to run that through court.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's consolidated.
The only people that you won't see on that report, the county attorney, the district attorney, but we can certainly add a column for each.
Yeah.
Want someone to
you're going to be on there.
It's already being done. Anyway, that's my point.
But I've had several people, I think it's accurate, several people, probably more than several people, that have tried to look at the county budget that are not used to fund accounting.
Yeah.
And they, they can't find the income. It's like, well, it's over on the other side. You got to go over there. It's like, why is the income for the county attorney not over here with the county attorney's expense budget? It's like, well, it kind of is. I mean, it's over here in this fund, and then the expenses come out of this fund. We're not running a business, and so it's not all in little departments, little stores as you have it, where the income all comes in, the expenses all come out over here, and then, the retained earnings flushes out or the lack thereof. I mean, that's what people are used to seeing. And they look at our stuff and they're like, listen, it makes no sense to me. It's like, I agree. It doesn't make any sense to you. It makes perfect sense to me because I've been doing fund accounting for 20 years practically. Actually, a lot longer than that. But I think that's something that people definitely want. They've made it crystal clear to me. They want it. And how we package it up, deliver it to them where they can see it, I guess, is a conversation. But
I think that's what we've got to work on is to simplify. And not trying to hide anything, but to give them something that doesn't create 400 questions. Because like you said, I've tried to explain the fund accounting and it's a very
lack of comprehension equates to lack of transparency, and that's not the case.
Yeah,
it's being able to comprehend the numbers that are sitting in front of them. Yeah. I've fielded that question many times. It's not that anybody's trying to hide something from you, you just don't understand it.
Right.
Here's why.
Okay.
Well, then at the heart of it, I think the question that the court needs to address at some point is, okay, do we have a consolidated report? Right, which that's being run through another office, and that could, that's one mechanism. But that doesn't show the taxpayers what the office reported. And that was part of what I was getting at is we got two departments that are, publicly submitting, and we accept those, for as far as I can remember back. But other departments are not. I think there needs to be some parity there of how we're going to do that so that one, it's not all dumped on the auditor's office. And number two, that gives validity to what the departments are submitting to the auditor's office. Because one would be some.
I don't understand. It's all going to go through the auditor's office anyway. And if the auditor's office does it, then does combined report, then
it was accepted.
So
right.
So just like the so like I mean every month the auditor's office comes to my office and they check the stuff that I've turned in and they balance that. So the numbers that I've sent them, they confirm that those are the correct numbers, and that process is in place. It occurs monthly. Ms. Mannix comes to not just my office, but every office in the county and sets down and goes through that and balances those things and makes sure that, and I mean, she does the same thing with the county clerk and the tax assessor collector she does with my little office. I think all of that's pretty high and tight by the time it gets printed by the auditor's office. At least, I mean, I feel like it is. I feel like that.
It's like you're going to get a monthly report, so I'll take a look at it.
I'll come visit with you.
Okay. I can read and bring, go get you one.
No, I'll come visit with you separately.
And it has all the departments listed on it.
Yeah.
The combined totals and where it's
going. Well, I was just trying to create some efficiency if we can. Mm-hmm. We're not having to approve 12 different ones. We can approve one as a whole. And if they've already been vetted and I mean, that process was great that you know, kind of explained that. Sounds like we have a very, you know, good process. So when the numbers come out of your office, they should be the numbers. They've already been audited, as they would say. So, like I said, just I'm looking at efficiency. If we're going to do all 12 departments or whatever, then let's just do it under one report instead of going and because that'll drive Bashman crazy. He'll have to go, I want to accept A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, N, M, O.
Commissioner Basham chooses to express it that way. No, I think there should be some parity in what we're, you know, putting in here because we do historically, and I will go back and I will check because I'm not sure that there's, you know, I have not found at least at this point what the statutory requirement is for just the two offices that we're currently accepting. So I am on board with, we're going to do one consolidated report. We do one consolidated report. I'm also on board with every department that brings in money submits a report to be accepted. Because it's being done one way or another. But the issue of transparency, I think, needs to be addressed, is what I'm getting at. And so if the court has some guidance, has some preference as to what they would like to see, we can start working on that for potentially the first meeting in December.
Judge, I think long term, it's not going to happen by the first meeting in December, but because of the way we have our, and it's not just us, Sarah County in the state of Texas, our funds, which, you know, 10, we have fund 20, we have fund 30, fund 31, fund 74, fund 76, fund 59, fund, you know, we got all these funds. And, you know, so somebody asks, well, you know, I don't see this expense in here anywhere. It's like, well, it's because you're looking at fund 10, and it's paid out of fund 74, or whatever the case might be. You know, long term, I think there is some value in putting together a report for the public that consolidates all of that so that they don't have to look for an expense related to the county attorney's office in three different funds.
which they could right now have put mm-hmm. apart. Fund 10, Fund 74, and Fund 76. It could be in three different places.
Correct.
It could be in one and none of them in the other. It Correct. Could be in Fund 10 something other where my victims coordinator grant runs through. You know, so I guess it could be in four different funds. And, you know, I don't know. There's some danger in that as well. Because you at some point may have to consider assigning some costs that are paid on a lump sum basis to an individual office, and you may not get it perfect. I don't know. And I've talked to people about this, and I've explained all of this to them. It's like there's different ways to do it. We've chosen a way. Maybe we're right, maybe we're wrong, but it's there, and here it is, and there's nothing wrong with the way we're doing it, except for you don't like it. And, you know, we're not going to solve all of those problems. So we just have to think through how we want to present it to people in the most advantageous way for them to see a clear picture of exactly what's going on in the county, with the understanding of it may not be perfect, but it'd be a heck of a lot easier for them to understand and see than looking at our books. Yeah. And if they don't like the way we put it together and display it to them, then fine, go look at the books, right. Figure it out yourself.
I think a consolidated report. I mean, you're just going to confuse people with 12 different, you know, it's, or whatever. I don't know the actual number. There's four. There's eight. Not more than 12. But I'm 12 or 4.
Yeah.
32-ish. No, not the thing.
There's no way we're ever going to be able to, in a very concise way, explain fund accounting to the general public. But I agree to make things as readily available to them as possible, given the parameters of the systems we're operating with. One of our challenges is the financial software, and I don't know exactly how FI will be able to produce documents, but I'm sure that there's a piece to it that will have some pie charts and graphs that we can generate that, you know, make things easier regardless of what fund it's coming out of. Because I think that's, to your point, is that's part of fund accounting. It's part of when we have some expenses for fire departments in fund 10, but we also have a fire department fund. I mean, I can tell people why we're doing that, but does that, you know, why would we not just all put it all in that one? I don't know. You know, but if they can, if a pie chart or a graph can be developed that says this is what the county spends for emergency services outside of law enforcement, I think they would appreciate that. But you can't find that in one item at this point.
I agree with you, and this is not to insult anybody's intelligence, but it needs to be at third grade level, because if you present me something at a third grade level, it doesn't take me long to figure it out. You can give me the books, Coryell County, and I can figure them out, but you know how long it takes me? For freaking ever, and I'll not have to spend forever to figure out what my government's doing. That's a very valid point for a taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I have to dig through all this stuff you provided me and figure this out? Why don't y'all provide it to me in an easily figure-available format? Third grade level. That way I just got to look at it. There it is. Man, that was simple. Now my questions, a lot of my questions are answered. Instead of having to say, here's the books. Figure it out. Oh. Some they can. A lot of them can. And but it'll take them forever.
Yeah.
I mean, hours and hours and hours to figure it out. And that pisses them off. Like a better term.
Mr. Wood, and this is what I'm putting up. Do you remember in financial intelligence any counties that are alike, like us, that they reference? I can go back and look, but because I would tell you, you know, during all this too, I've gone out and looked at some other counties, you know, budgets, And I'm as lost in their budget because it's very, you know, sometimes very different. And I'll look and go, so what is that? You know, why did they put it through? You know, so every out of 254 counties, everybody does it a little uniquely, if you will. But I would believe that those that are attached to different, you know, software probably look a little bit the same. Man, I looked at a couple of them and I was like, they're just as confusing or more so. Although Bell County does a great job. Of course, they have probably a staff of 10 people that put together their annual presentation. And it's beautiful. I mean, pie charts, you know, everything. Very, very detailed. And, you know, and I think we could avoid some of that if we are able to do at least something of that kind. Anyway, we come up with couple of counties. I can go on their website. Maybe they reference it. That like look at their budget too. But we got to rebuild. I mean, I imagine with FI, we're going to probably have to rebuild how we present a budget. Yeah, it's going to look different.
Different program. It'll be different.
Different account numbers.
Correct.
Yeah. We just don't look at it. But the look is going to be a little different.
We're excited for our conversion.
I know. I bet we're trying to get it pushed up.
All right. So relating to item number 11, is there some guidance that the court could give me as to what your preference is for the presentation of financial reports?
I want it consolidated. I want it simple. And I think we certainly need to take a look at what our new software is going to do. I mean, in the scheme of things, what's that? Let's say 6 months. I would hate to have to invest a whole bunch in what we currently have to turn right around and have to redo it. Yeah, when we.
I think you're going to have to. A lot of it's going to be due with this transition.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
Ready to start.
He can do it. I mean, does it?
Reports that are all right in my, right. my desk. Right.
It's done now. It's just a matter of
sale.
Right.
Sale. All it is.
Yeah. may not make graphs and pies because it looks like dot matrix or whatever that stuff was made. It will.
Those in the thoughts in the
Excel. Yeah.
Okay. I don't. I mean, I know how it's perfect.
I know, ladies. That's all shortcuts.
Okay. Consolidated report. All right. That's what I'm going to work for. And I'll get with Mr. Wood to see what because it needs to be low impact on him. You know, but we'll see if we can't get something that is equitable. Okay. Packageable and understandable.
Sorry, being done.
No matter, it's understandable.
Print.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that's not going to be for it is not going to have a lot of explanation. It's going to be other reimbursements on the income side. Other reimbursements. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a number there, and it includes I don't know how many heavy funds. And they're not going to know either. Now I can get the little sheet that's got the little list over the side of all the little stuff that's put in there and see, because I know what case numbers are in which courts and what's going on with it. And I can see what they are. They're not going to know what that is, and they're going to want to know what that is. And so over time, as we transition to a new system, that may be one thing that we want to do is to break those out. Y'all currently don't in the budget. Y'all could. Maybe y'all should moving forward so that different things are broken out into that in that number. Those things are on the reports when the money is deposited into the county by the different clerks that collect those funds and the different offices that collect the funds that go into that line item. But asking the people to go pull those reports from those different places and figure out what all we're putting in there is unfair and pissing off.
Well, and you know, and to your point, and I agree, it needs to be as simplified and self-explanatory as possible. But there's some that, I mean, we could create a reimbursable line for DR-4781. But when DR-4781 goes away, DR-4781 is never going to come back up again because we will have expensed that. There are some things that are just going to have to be accepted as grouped because they are one-off type reimbursables that we receive, and that's going to happen every year. So to your point, what we can explain, you know, or make as clear as possible up front that are recurring, but there's still going to be some that are anomalies with the way we do business and how revenues are presented. So my takeaway is that we have no action to take on item number 11, but the court has a desire to look at a consolidated report, financial report, as we move forward. Is that summarized?
Yep.
Ms. Carnegie, are you good with that? Okay, thank you, ma'am. Moving on to item number 11, I'm sorry, not item number 12, which would be to consider budget amendment number 12 for FY25.
Make a motion to approve budget amendment number 12.
We got a motion to approve budget number 12 for FY25. Commissioner Matthews, is there a second?
Second. Uh-huh.
Sorry, my phone wanted to second that. I apologize. Because I've got it on silence, but I don't know why she... So, a second to Commissioner Taylor, not my phone. Any further discussion on item number 12? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 13 is consider casting votes for the Coryell Central Appraisal District Board of Directors. I believe that information went out in your packet. I would, after having discussions with Mr. Carruthers, our primary nominee was Mr. Kevin George to begin with. Under the new structuring, with the additional board members that are on there, we no longer have the ability to guarantee any position on the board, and we had in previous years, but it was his recommendation that we cast our allocated 584 votes to Mr. Kevin George.
I'll make that motion.
We got a motion from Commissioner Matthews, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 13? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. And we will cast our votes for Mr. George. We have covered 14, 15, and 16, which brings us to item number 17 on the agenda, which is to pay bills. We've had bills presented in the amount of $1,301,900.85.
Make a motion to pay the bills.
Got a motion to pay bills from Commissioner Matthews, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 17? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 18 are reports. Commissioner Matthews.
Yes, I have a couple of things. I still need to talk about the dispatchers, whether they pay, whether it's in the budget or not. Kind of because our budget is kind of difficult to understand to a point. I just need the entire court to be clear. I'm clear on that. I thought I made a, I know I didn't get a motion or a second on it last time, but I think it needs to be discussed. And then Christmas Eve, I would make a recommendation that we include Christmas Eve on the 2025 calendar to close the courthouse. But I don't know how we missed that. I mean, I know we have only so many holidays, but that's been a request from several courts and several
department. So, and that's all I got.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Weddle.
Yeah, we'll keep our keep it here. I know you've got some questions out to a law firm on the Twin Caverns, and that was scheduled to be on this session, but we have not received those answers back on the legal matter. So I would just request that we'll have that on the next meeting, the Twin Caverns bond release.
We're going to talk about that on item 20. Also, I have some information.
Okay,
good. For you along that.
Awesome.
I don't have a final answer back from the attorney yet, but I do have some stuff to discuss with y'all about that.
Did I get?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. Commissioner Taylor.
I am done.
You don't want to steal Commissioner Basham since he's not here to say pray for rain. You hey, that was an opening for you.
I don't want it till Tuesday.
Could have jumped right in on that.
I'm a drain in the ground.
Taylor, you're
probably too early.
You're queued in. Was there a fire in the north? Eastern quadrant, or maybe even McLennan yesterday, because I swear
there's a big one in Waco.
Okay, I could see that from my house. I walked out and saw the orange glow in a place where I don't normally see it. I was like, hey, I'm gonna watch that.
Yeah, it started.
It had to be big.
3 or 4 o'clock, man.
Yeah, I saw that on on social media, and then man, I can't be seeing that from here. But it was probably a big fire then.
What time was this? It could have been the Northern Lights though, too.
No, this was orange. This was. And you could see it flare up from, yeah, probably 8.
Yeah.
Well, I was out there at 8.
I put a big deal on it.
I was out taking the dog out around 9, and I saw it. Thought, well, better. Okay, I figured you might.
9:30?
8 to 9, the Northern Lights were, it was very red in the sky.
Wow.
At like 8:30 to 9 to 9:30. They were beautiful.
Huh.
It's very red. It's just like a red.
You thought I was playing a joke on it.
Yeah.
That's the east, not going. That's true.
Doesn't have Commissioner Basham's time since he's not here.
Oh, yeah. Talk about it. Are you all muted? The youth. I'll bequeath my time.
Last box quarters.
Yeah.
You haven't let me get to mine, but I would. Yeah, you know what? No.
46 is the number though. When you get there, 46.
That I will.
Oh, really?
I will. There's been a request for Commissioner Basham's time to be allocated to the county attorney. There's no objections from the court. Hearing none, Mr. Belt, you're on the clock for 3 minutes. But you got to say you pray for rain. Okay.
Sooner the better. I don't need to wait till Tuesday. My granny's already up about that big about that. You need to hurry up. Depends what's running away from them. County website. I've been getting a lot of emails from TAC CIRA about the county website. I'm sure y'all have too. And I know we talked about it some a while back, but I think that's something that we probably need to. I don't know what our plan is, but I know we've talked about it. I just don't remember what our plan is, but seems to me like with the increase in email traffic that it's something we probably need to start talking about in court and making sure we've got a plan and a date. I don't even know what the deadline is. I haven't read about it all, but apparently they're really excited about it, and I know it's an issue that's coming, so just wanted to get that on maybe some students to make sure we have a plan on. And Mr. Mitchell's been visited about this some too, about the separate websites and trying to formulate a long-term plan of getting everybody on one website managed by one outfit to make sure we're in compliance with everything. I think that's something we need to address.
Yeah.
So all yet?
So you got the number. I'll let you have two wallets.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Get two livestock supporters, a lot of game dinner. Tentatively, boss lady thinks we cleared about 46,000. So,
very successful
event.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. We got some money to give the little children to Dillon County Fair for the project. So
that's the Saturday, wasn't it?
Yes.
And I was in Dallas. Thankful grandkids planted 18.
I heard it in Dallas. My usually lease ticket sales one that was down to the count. Got a report on your absence, where you was at, why you even bought the tickets yet. That's fair.
Yeah, I spent more than I wanted to in Dallas. So.
I'm pretty confident that our numbers would have been, I'm pretty confident we'd have exceeded 50 if my money ticket sales hadn't been laid up in the hospital and turned down on me. I was hopeful we was going to get to come home yesterday and that didn't happen. So hopefully today will be the day.
Good update, Mr. Belt. Anything else you got? Okay. First and foremost, I ask that you keep Commissioner Basham in your prayers. He's going through some challenging times, and as Ms. Belt indicated, we think he might be doing a little bit better. So that being number one. Number two, want to make everyone aware. I didn't run down the complete list, but from peewee football up to senior level sports in schools, we've got numerous teams, whether that's volleyball, football, basketball is starting, but they're not in. There are lots of playoff contenders out there. So if you don't have something to do on a Friday night, you get out and support one of our local programs, because I think this year the Coppers Cove Bulldogs are going to the playoffs for about the first time in maybe 6, 7, 8 years. It's been a while. They've been on a drought there. Oglesby continues to be very, very entertaining. Not to upset the Jonesboro crowd, because we've got to be careful about, you know, how you say those things. But be cognizant of our youth that are participating in extracurricular activities all across the board. They're performing at exceptional levels, and it's worthy of our time. The last one is administrative that I got a phone call on yesterday, so I haven't really followed up with it yet right now. But I would ask all the departments to please have their employees check their Texas retirement account. It appears that at least one employee's retirement pay did not get submitted correctly entered into the TCDRS. I always want to say it the wrong way. I need to run that to ground, but I would ask all the departments to have their employees to please check that, because it does accrue interest monthly. And that would have been the October payment. So they may be due some interest if those didn't get processed correctly. That's all I've got for the court. With that, picking up with item number 20, Commissioner's Court, pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.071, Commissioner's Court will conduct a closed meeting to consult with the county attorney regarding pending litigation and a matter subject to attorney-client confidentiality, to include, but not limited to, that case of the County of Coryell versus Purdue Pharma. Coming out of the closed meeting, there are potentially two actions that the court may wish to take. One action would be under item number 9, which was to consider the contract of Goldsmith Solutions. And item number 21, which would be to consider 207K exemption policy for the Coryell County Sheriff's Office. With that, we are in recess, and we will reconvene in the front conference room at 11:45. We're in recess. Thank you all.